The Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for February, is a daily devotional resource for Lent titled Restore the Roar. It's written by Issues, Etc., regular guest Dr. Reed Lessing. You can read an excerpt of Restore the Roar at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase this Lenten devotional by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. Restore the Roar costs only $2.29 plus shipping and handling, 1-800-325-3040. Spoken first by Simeon in Luke's gospel, the very beginning of that story of Jesus, spoken to and of and about the infant Jesus there in the temple. Simeon has been waiting his entire life to see the Lord's Christ and been told by the Holy Spirit that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Christ, and finally he does. And these are the words that come out of his mouth, inspired by the Holy Spirit, when that promise is fulfilled. And the Christian church sings those words as well, after we have seen the same thing, after the promise to us has been fulfilled. We often sing them right after receiving the Lord's Supper. Greetings and welcome to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in live this Thursday afternoon, the 7th of February, part 22 of our series on the historic liturgy today, the Nunc Dimittis and the Collects, the prayers after the reception of the Lord's Supper. Pastor Will Wheaton will be our guest. A little bit later, an hour or two of Issues, Etc., a conversation with Pastor Brian Wolfmiller on distinguishing law and gospel. Now, you can join us, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-6943. The listeners with the best questions or comments, the listener with the best question or comment in this first hour will receive the book Heaven on Earth, The Gifts of Christ in the Divine Service, 877-623-6943. Send us an email, talkback at issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc, or you can leave that question or comment at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Pastor Will Wheaton is Director of Worship and Chaplain for the International Center for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Will, welcome back.
Hey, thank you. A joy to be with you again.
We have a loose string from last time. We were talking about the distribution of the Lord's Supper, and we were right there at the end with the dismissal, the pastor's words, as sometimes to each table, sometimes to the whole congregation, after all has been received.
Right.
That dismissal. And you wanted to emphasize something, that this isn't, I want you to speak the words, tell us what the words are, and you say this isn't a hope or a wish.
Right, right.
It's something else.
Yeah, it's not in the optative, if you will. It runs like this. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace. This grammatical form is actually quite parallel to what we'll talk about next time with the benediction, too. It's sort of an imperative, but it's like a spoken in the third person. I mean, we can't do that most of the time in English. I mean, we think about an imperative is something, a command that you give to a second in second person, you go do this. But here, it's like a command that this Lord's body and blood strengthen and preserve you. We're giving a command there. Where you get that kind of an idea from? Right out of the way that the Hebrew scripture spoke with the benediction. When God has promised that his gifts will accomplish something, we pronounce that. And that's what's being pronounced on the people here.
So just to put the point on that, we're not saying We hope this will happen.
Right.
May this happen, which kind of has that same force.
Right.
It could. Maybe it won't.
Maybe, maybe not.
We'll wait and see.
Yeah.
This will happen.
Yeah. This is gift delivered, gift received. That's the force, you know. This body and blood of the Lord Jesus, you know, which you have now received orally in your mouth and in your soul, both together, this will strengthen and keep you in body and in soul to the life that never ends. And that's why you can depart in peace. And do you notice the hookup with mm-hmm. the end, depart in peace, and then the canticle that follows?
And then it is a prayer. Yeah. Lord, now let your servant depart in peace. Take us to the original context of this prayer from Simeon.
Well,
and why does that make it so appropriate? It's found elsewhere, but why does that make it so appropriate after the reception of the Lord's Supper?
Yeah, it is one of the most stunning little pieces of Luke's gospel, I think. This old man, Luke chapter 2, he'd been waiting for so long. I've had people challenge me on this, that it is tradition of the church that implies that he is old. It does say that, you know, he would not die before he'd seen the Lord's Christ. And, you know, someone once said to me, well, what if he's 22 and he'd had that promise and he's still waiting? But, you know, according to the unanimous tradition of the church, I think the sense in which it reads in Luke, both with Simeon and Anna, he's an old man. He's waiting. He's waiting for this moment to occur when he will see the Lord's Christ. And the Holy Spirit reveals it to him. This is the day. Go, and into the temple he heads. Interesting speculation. How did the Holy Spirit reveal it to him? Pastor Peter Bender puts forward an idea that I think is actually very interesting. He says, well, do you remember that on the night of Jesus' birth, it was noised all about the hill country of Judea that the Savior had been born? The shepherds went and told everybody. And he said, so if you were in Jerusalem and you heard that, you would know that 40 days later, he would have to be showing up in the temple. And the Holy Spirit then might have spoken to Simeon through the ordinary way that the Word of God works, you know, the Word spoken. So whether it was that way or whether it was a direct inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Simeon is there. He's waiting. And I just imagine Mary holding the baby as she walks in. And, you know, Joseph's got the offering of the poor, the pair of turtle doves in there, making their way across the temple courts. And all of a sudden, this stranger that they've never laid eyes on before, he's coming right at them with his arms held out for the baby, like, give the baby to me. And if you're most parents, I think you would be inclined to grab your baby a little tighter. It's like, you know what? But I think Mary saw on old Simeon's face a look she recognized. She'd seen it on Elizabeth's face when Elizabeth greeted her. She'd seen it on the shepherd's face on the night of the child's birth. Another person who knew God's great secret. And so she hands the baby over. Then this prayer. And I've always pictured it this way. I don't know if I'm right or not. I don't picture, the artist always have Simeon holding the baby in his arms and lifting his eyes up to the skies
as he
prays. You know, I think it's wrong. I think he held the baby out in his hands and looked into his little face. And he spoke to the baby and said, Lord, now you're letting your servant go in peace. I think he was praying to the child that he actually held. And see, when we come to the supper, you asked, what's the connection there? Well, can you see why some long-forgotten Lutheran thought it was a good idea? By the way, let's make clear on that. This is a Lutheran innovation. It wasn't even a very big following for it in the early days, but from the 19th century onward, it sort of achieved its spot.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, in the time of the Reformation, I think it was the Swedish order had it as a communion piece during the distribution. And I think Nuremberg had it after the distribution. And I think that was it. I mean, it was just there's not a lot that followed that. And when they put together the common service, they sort of tried to follow the line that what was the consensus of the church orders from those days? Well, it was not a consensus to have this here, but it was so fitting they couldn't resist it. So they put it in and they put that it may be sung.
It's not that the Nunc Dimittis doesn't appear in the life of liturgical life of
the
church.
Oh, yeah, no, right. It's always been there. It's usually prayed in the evening at the end of the day in Compline, the prayer at the close of the day. And that's where it had its sort of native home. Lutherans also used it during Vesper sometimes. But here, once it came to this spot, you just kind of look at it and go, yeah, this is perfect.
That raises a question before you go on about how this tremendous variety of the church's offices, the prayer offices, mm-hmm. and all this kind of stuff, they not only individually retain their own character and retain these things in them, like the Nunc Dimittis mm-hmm. in Compline, the right. evening service, but kind of keeps – it's a storehouse for the church to borrow for Sunday morning to say, wait, we've got something sitting over here on this shelf that might really work well on Sunday morning.
Yeah, and you'll notice that that particular borrowing can run in either direction sometimes. A classic instance of it is sometimes you'll be at a church where they're reading a reading, and it happens to be that they're using morning prayer or evening prayer, and they happen to be reading a reading from the gospel, and the pastor will tell the people to stand. Mm-hmm. And it's like, why are you doing that? Well, it's a gospel reading. We stand for the gospel. Well, we do that for the gospel in the divine service, but it's just a reading in the orders of morning prayer. There's no reference in anywhere in the service that says stand for it. So, there's borrowing both directions. But this is something so powerful. The pastor just said, depart in peace. And now the people hearing that can't help but think of Simeon and holding that child and that same child, that same one. His very body, the body that was born of Mary, the body that Mary was holding in her arms that Simeon reached out and took, that's now come to us. We've received the same one. And so Simeon's prayer can be our very own. Prayer at the close of the day, where this had its sort of native home across the years, Compline, it's always it's like a trial run of your funeral or of accommodation of the dying. It's your now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. And if I die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. This is exactly what the Nunc Dimittis is saying. You're looking at God and you're saying, wow, having in Jesus all the gifts that he gives us in his body and blood, I can die right now. I can die this moment and it will be great.
Pastor Will Wheaton is our guest. Part 22 of our series on the historic liturgy, we're talking about the Nunc Dimittis and the prayers after the reception of the Lord's Supper, the post-communion collects. Stay tuned.
Martin Luther taught that the chief function of music and worship was the proclamation of the Word of God. With Heirs of the Reformation, Treasures of the Singing Church, you will hear over two centuries of Lutheran musical theology, beautifully performed and faithfully sung. For a limited time, save 10% on this 4-CD set when you use promotional code URA. Simply visit cph.org today. Lutheran thought, Lutheran substance, Lutheran music. Brought to you by Concordia Publishing House.
Trinity Orchard Farm is settled between two rivers, showing the way to the water of life. For worship that is reverent, relevant, and refreshing like pure water, or for excellent education in a unique setting, check out our church and school. We're just 5 miles north of Highway 370 on Highway 94 in St. Charles County. Visit us on the web at trinityorchardfarm.com. That's trinityorchardfarm.com. Our phone number is 636-250-3350.
Real Reformation Radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
You can listen to Issues Etc. live and on demand with the new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app. You can get these apps at our website, issuesetc.org. Give us a call, send us an email, or follow us on Facebook or Twitter. Issues Etc. in the palm of your hand. The new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app. Download today at issuesetc.org.
There's an app for that.
Higher Things assists in cultivating, encouraging, and promoting a distinctively Lutheran identity among their youth and young adults. To fulfill this mission, this summer, Higher Things has 3 conferences. You can find out more about these conferences at fromabove2013.org. The winter issue of Higher Things magazine is now available. This is a topical issue on church and state that you can read in its entirety on our website, higherthings.org.
Thank you.
Father Nunc Dimittis from Divine Service One. We're talking about this song that is sung after the reception of the Lord's Supper, part 22 of our series on the historic liturgy. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues, Etc. Pastor Will Whedon is our guest. He's director of worship and chaplain of the International Center for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Here's an email that we received today from Didier in France. He says, I'm Christian, but not Lutheran. I listen regularly to Lutheran Public Radio on the web. So beautiful and so peaceful music. I want to thank you. Well, he's listening to LutheranPublicRadio.org. It's sacred music for the world. And he's right. It's beautiful. It's peaceful. It is the music of the church throughout the church's centuries and throughout the church's year. And we're going to begin playing Lenten hymns on Ash Wednesday next week at LutheranPublicRadio.org. We follow the church's year. It's absolutely free. It's 24/7. LutheranPublicRadio.org. All right. There's a tension here, isn't there?
Mm-hmm.
In the words of and the Nunc Dimittis introduces us to this, it is the salvation which is for Israel and for all the nations.
Right.
Talk about the tension that's right there in the Lord's Supper between the inclusive and the exclusive.
Right. This is so beautiful in confessing this, that the salvation that's given in the Lord's Supper is a salvation that God intends for every single human being, because there's not a single human being for which that Christ was not born and for whom his blood was not shed. So it's a salvation for all. And yet there is an exclusivity that the salvation is only in Christ. It doesn't come anywhere else. It's only given in him. Fallen man would like to have the gift of salvation without the gift of Christ. And that's not the way it works with God. The salvation, thy salvation, which thou hast prepared, or you have prepared, be for the face of all people. So, this is not something that's hidden away. It's not something secret. It's something God sets before all people, the gift of his Son. It's a light to lighten the Gentiles, and it's glory for Israel, a recognition that in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have the one who overcomes this ancient division between the people of God, Israel, and the Gentiles. In him, the two become one. Paul talks about that a lot in Ephesians 2, the breaking down of the dividing wall of hostility between the two, making of the two one new man in him. Nowhere does that come more to expression than at the supper of the Lord. And if you read the New Testament, you will find that one of the big fights that occurred in the early church had to do with, can you eat together? Can Jew and Gentile Christians on either side eat together? Well, where does that come to deepest expression? But can you eat together the Lord's Supper? If you can't eat together at all, you certainly can't eat together the Lord's Supper. And that was what's really running behind the discussion in Acts 15 and in Galatians, sharing together in the one body and blood of the Lord. The Lord has one table, and he calls his people to share it.
So we sing this consciously with reference to the Lord's Supper,
mm-hmm.
just as Simeon sang it consciously with reference to the child in his arms.
Right. We having received the Holy Eucharist into our mouths, into our souls, into our bodies, we literally turn to God and say, it's okay now. You've given us everything we absolutely need. We can die. You can take our breath away this very moment, and it would be perfectly fine, because in Jesus we've been given a life that death can't take from us.
I don't want to set Simeon against us, but mm-hmm. do we have it in greater fulfillment than Simeon did in that moment?
Simeon held it in promise even at that moment, as we hold it in fulfillment. As Simeon held the body that would be given into death for the sins of the world, we receive the body that was given into death for the sins of the world and has been raised from the dead, never to die again, the living Christ, as the Apology to the Augsburg Confession puts it.
Now, this song traditionally ends with this, with the Trinitarian invocation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Gloria Patri, the glory be to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. You need to, and forget me doing it, you need to get Dr. Kleinig to do his show on doxology, where he's written a fabulous little piece on how this glorification of God is something that's uniquely Christian. It starts showing up all over the pages in the New Testament, and how it lives in the liturgy of the church. It is glorifying of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is a sign that the kingdom has come down to us now. Heaven has reached earth, where the glorification of God happens. Heaven and earth are full of thy glory, as the angels proclaim.
Now, just to kind of try and deal with every detail as much as we can, during that Gloria Patri, as we discussed it before much earlier in our series, during that Gloria Patri, as with this one, it is very often the practice of the participants and the administrators in the Lord's Supper to bow.
Right. Whenever the name of God is named, it's a normal practice to bow, especially in the Gloria Patri. You'll see many a presider of the sacrament and many lay people in imitation of the same will just bow toward God as they say it. I confess I'm always ambiguous toward the practice because I do it. It's a tradition, and I just hate the fact that at the moment when we're giving glory and praise to God and I want to be loudest, you're bent over and it's hard to get a lot of air in your lungs when you're in that position. But there is something absolutely so fitting about bowing before this blessed Trinity who, you know, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit cooperating together, giving us this gift of eternal life in the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is a glorious, wonderful moment.
I heard one pastor once, and I don't even remember who it was, say that this is kind of the long goodbye, because with the dismissal from the Lord's table, the people have been told, the supper is ended, you may leave in peace.
Mm-hmm.
And then we stick around.
We stick around and like sing a little bit more.
Yeah, like people who, you know, your kids come to visit.
Yeah.
Time to get up and leave. And a half hour later, you're still standing in the driveway.
Right. Still talking, still not wanting to say goodbye. And there is that feel at this point in the service. I did mention this. I want to stress this. This piece is something that, the very first liturgy of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, the Saxon agenda, did not have this here.
What did it have anything there?
It just had the Thanksgiving collect. It was like the service, when you're done distributing the sacrament, there is a versicle and then a Thanksgiving collect and then the benediction. That's it. I mean, it was a very quick ending to it. And we've become accustomed, and I think the long goodbye is an absolutely brilliant way of describing it. We don't want to go yet. We still want to sing some more to you. And to rejoice in the glory of your presence.
There is an alternate to this. You didn't agree to talk about this, but I'm
no,
sure you can.
I know, sure.
Thank the Lord and sing his praise. Tell everyone what he has done. Let all who seek the Lord rejoice and proudly bear his name. It goes on. He recalls his promises and leads his people forth in joyous shouts of thanksgiving. Alleluia. That is, do we have any idea where this comes from?
Well, it's a psalm. It's a paraphrase, I think, of Psalm 105, right? And it was composed in the mid 20th century. Yeah, for the I did not look that back up. I think it first appeared with the Lutheran Book of Worship, it was in the Contemporary Worship. It was in the Contemporary Worship series. So I don't know if you remember the paper black back blue books, not the worship supplement, but the ones that came after that. I think that's where it appeared for the first time. And it's a fine piece. It fits and has about it the same sort of missionary thrust, you know, the light for the nations. It's what we've just had in Christ here is for all people. So let's go out and sing his praises and tell everybody the great things that he has done. I mean, it has that same feel to it. And it also has the feel of, okay, let's not quite go yet. Let's sing some more praise.
But it is different in the sense that...
I don't think, the gravity of the, I'm ready to die. I mean, there's something so incredibly radical about a whole bunch of people on Sunday morning standing up and telling God, okay, you can take us right now. We're ready to die. Can you imagine? I mean, if people really understood that Christians believe that way, that they thought that way, they think, you guys are absolutely nuts. Like, yeah, I know. We really do know that the life that we've been given in Jesus is so strong and so powerful that death just can't take it away from us. So death can come anytime. It's no big deal. We meet it as a defeated enemy in Jesus. And so we have nothing to, and the judgment of God? What do we have to fear of the judgment of God when the very body and blood that took away the sins of the world have been given to us as the guarantee and pledge that our sins are wiped out and forgiven in his sight?
Have you, in your long career as a pastor, ever had opportunity
to... What do you mean this long career as a pastor thing? You're trying to make me feel old here?
Yes. Have you ever had opportunity, and I'm sure you have, at the deathbed of a parishioner to both give the Lord's Supper and to sing
and
this
sing
Nunc
this.
Dimittis?
Oh, man, yes. Yes, and I know you have too. It's just one of the most powerful moments when you sing this, and it comes back again at the. You remember at the at the funeral service. So as you're standing there by the coffin, and in fact, I think our rite says, put your hand on the casket. And you say, Lord, now let your servant go in peace. Your word has been fulfilled. And invariably, you think back to just most of the time, you've just given them their last communion not too long before that. And you think, okay, it's our saying to death, you did not win. You have not conquered this person. They belong to Christ and they will rise again. They have a life that does not end. They can go to their grave in peace.
Pastor Will Whedon is our guest. When we come back, another half hour with him, we're talking about the Nunc Dimittis and the post-communion prayers, and we'll get to those right after this.
Here are two new ways to stay connected to Issues Etc., Facebook and Twitter. You'll find photos of in-studio guests at facebook.com/issuesetc, and you'll find a list of upcoming topics and guests on Twitter at issuesetc. Social networking for the thinking Christian, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc. Connect with fellow Issues Etc. junkies today, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc.
Does your church need a backup organist? The virtual organist service from Church Music Solutions is the next best thing to an on-site organist. Send us your musical choices, including liturgy and hymns. We'll assemble your service and send it to an iPad that controls your church's organ on Sunday. The result is genuine organ leadership on your instrument with your selections when you need it. See our videos on YouTube or visit our website at churchmusicsolutions.com.
Did you know that Logia, a journal of Lutheran theology, sells CDs and audio downloads of teachings by some of the top Lutheran theologians in the country? Check out Logia's 99-cent download of the month at shoplogia.org, shoplogia.org. You'll also find books published by Luther Academy and, of course, the quarterly Logia Journal at shoplogia.org. Continuing education for the confessional Lutheran, shoplogia.org.
What happens when you take solid doctrine and solid curriculum and combine them with ancient scholars and modern technology? You get Wittenberg Academy, the very first completely online classical Lutheran high school. We are unabashedly Lutheran and offer families a rigorous standard of academic excellence. Students can pick and choose classes, or they can utilize our entire curriculum for their high school education. Visit our website, wittenbergacademy.org, to find out more.
Keeping the message straight. Getting the message out. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Redeemer Lutheran, Mandeville, Louisiana. Our Savior Lutheran, Whitefish Bay, Wisconsin. Christ Lutheran, Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Emmanuel Lutheran, Louisville, Nebraska. Grace Lutheran, Warminster, Pennsylvania. Trinity Lutheran, Valonia, Indiana. Emmanuel Lutheran, Pensacola, Florida. St. Athanasius Lutheran, Vienna, Virginia. And Emmaus Lutheran, St. Louis, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print the one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
Oh,
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about the Nunc Dimittis and the post-communion prayers. We just heard Divine Service 4 setting of the Nunc Dimittis. What kind of questions or comments do you have about the Nunc Dimittis or the post-communion prayers? We're giving away the book Heaven on Earth, The Gifts of Christ in the Divine Service by Dr. Arthur Jess to the listener with the best question or comment in the next half hour, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Talk back at issuesetc.org, our Twitter address at issuesetc, and our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. One more question on the Nunc Dimittis. We talked about borrowing from various prayer services offices, but I think it's always a good practice that the Christian borrow from Sunday morning for private devotion.
Absolutely.
It's the place to go to, because the primary locus of our devotion isn't our prayer closet, it is the gathering around Christ's body and blood. The Nunc Dimittis seems perfect for this.
Yeah, can you imagine better words for you to put your head down on your pillow with than, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, especially as you say the words and remember the gift that you were given on Sunday, the gift of Christ's body and blood. And you pray this prayer, it's your going to sleep prayer. You couldn't ask for more. That's why it was included in the church's nighttime prayer.
And this kind of notion that you mentioned before of that we used to have in our children's prayers, you know, I'm going to sleep, but sleep is always, for the Christian, preparation for death.
Yeah, yeah. Every night we practice dying. Every night we lay down and we practice what's going to happen the day that we lie down. Our bodies are not, you know, that we don't get up again till resurrection morning. We're always practicing for that.
Well, we have these prayers that follow. How would you introduce us to them?
Well, let's look at how they're introduced. Notice that we've already been giving thanks to God already, right? And we've been giving glory to God. But then the pastor cries out, at least in Divine Service 3, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. You can't think of how many times this little versicle rings out in the Psalms. Our book cites it from Psalm 107, verse 1, but there are so many places that it could have been cited from. This is what we give thanks to the Lord for, because he is good, because his mercy to us never ends. And having said that, there is another little refrain that was, or antiphon, that was sometimes used and was part of the common service, seems to have disappeared in our current book. And that was, as often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. That's what I said, sort of vanishes, moved back to the proclamation of Christ before the distribution and Divine Services 1 and 2. But then these prayers, there are actually three of them in our current book, and each one of them is a gem all by itself. The first one comes, and it is by far the most common Lutheran post-communion prayer. Historically, in the Western Rite, this prayer changes every service, like the Collect of the Day. It varied. And they were never of any, I've looked at them and studied them and tried to see the great worth. They don't have the weight of the Collects, truthfully. But this prayer is Dr. Luther at his best. He wrote it, and the Lutherans said, well, that's so well done. How can we do any better than that? He wrote, we give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. Quicken. And we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same, through the Eucharist, in faith toward you and in fervent love, brinstica liebe, burning love toward one another, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. You know, Dr. Luther once wrote, the Christian lives outside of himself. He lives in Christ by faith, and he lives in his neighbor by love. And here you find, he preach that and teach that, he prayed that. It's like, oh, Lord God, use this now to strengthen my trust in you, my trust in your gracious promises, and fiery love toward my neighbor, that the sacrament has its fulfillment out toward the neighbor in love. After God has given you everything and faith receives everything he's given you, it thrusts you back out to serve and love your neighbor.
He says that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift.
Gift. Yeah.
And that's the salutary archaic, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it is. You know, in the first English translation that the Missouri Synod did, they translated that as wholesome. And I thought, well, that's far better in English than salutary. I wish we'd have kept that to this wholesome gift. I mean, that's really what salutary means. It means good for your health. This gift that's absolutely good for our physical and spiritual health. It's a wonderful gift.
There are a few places where I take liberties and make substitutions in my pastoral practice.
Mm-hmm.
Generally speaking, I stick with the words. But on that word, I have for almost my entire ministry substituted the word saving gift.
Saving, that works too. Yeah, yeah.
Because salutary says very little to the 21st century ear. It sounds like someone's saying hello or
right.
giving you a salute.
A salute,
or
right,
like
right,
that.
Right, right, right. Yeah, we're not hearing the right background to the word.
Talk about refreshed us, because it seems like a small way of saying something. We said so much about the Lord's Supper, and he says, you've refreshed us.
This is actually, I did not look this up in German, but I think this is right. He's using the same word here that he does in his translation for, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I'll refresh you. I will restore you. This is like Psalm 23 kind of language. He will grant your rest to your soul. And so this rest that he promises and gives us here is above all the rest and peace that comes to a human being when they know that their sins have been atoned. That they're, you know, it's the peace of conscience. And that is refreshment in its deepest meaning. It doesn't mean cookies and tea down in the basement. It means, oh my goodness, like water to a person dying of thirst in the desert and put on parched lips. There you received refreshment, just what you needed.
And the word of being strengthened by this is both in the dismissal that we talked about before, mm-hmm. and here in this prayer.
And in the prayer, right, right.
And it seems to me to be just a little bit of a departure from how Scripture, not a bad departure, but kind of a riff on how Scripture speaks about the Lord's Supper, to be strengthened by this.
Well, I think
ordinary food strengthens.
I mean, that's the riff. It's on this. It's running with the analogy of food. Food does that for you. It strengthens you. Bread to strengthen man's heart, as Psalm 104 puts it. And so we get this the idea that the supper is there strengthening us, but especially strengthening us in this dual direction, this trust in the promises of God, that they are for us. I mean, when he gives you his body and he says, this is what I gave for you, Todd Wilkin, for the wiping out of all of your sin. You go, you know, faith says, amen, yes. And this is what I gave for the whole world. And so the burning love toward one another. I really hate, to me, if the word that in this collect that I dislike is fervent, because I don't think people hear fervent anymore. They don't hear the fever in fervent mm-hmm. the way they should.
Yeah.
They, you know, it's fiery. It's burning. It's brünstig. I mean, that's just a great German word for it.
The other versions of this post-communion collect, what would you say of them? That's Luther's.
Luther's. The other one that appears in the Common Service is a beautiful one that many churches, I think, choose to use during Advent, Christmas, Epiphany season. Listen to these words. Oh God, the Father, the fountain and source of all goodness. There's a prime Luther picture right there. God is this overwhelming fountain of good, who in loving kindness sent your only begotten Son into the flesh. We thank you that for his sake you have given us pardon and peace in this sacrament, and we ask you not to forsake your children, but always to rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, etc. There you heard a Trinitarian prayer of profound proportions. I mean, there, God the Father, who in his unspeakable love sends into the flesh the Lord Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, and he does so to give us pardon, to give us peace, and we pray that through this holy gift that we've received, the Holy Spirit would always be governing, ruling our hearts and minds, so that all fear is chased away, and that we're able to serve God, worship him in both peace and joy. I mean, it's just a fabulous prayer.
It's genius. Do you have any idea where it came from?
Yeah, I honestly do not. I remember looking it up once, but I don't remember where it was that it came. I do believe, though, it was from the German church orders. I don't believe it was Anglican. I think it was German. But I'll have to check. Ask me again next week, and I'll definitely know that one. And then the contemporary one that was written for, I think it appeared with in hymnal a supplement 98, and it appears only in Divine Services 1 and 2, this prayer that goes like this: Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, you have given us a foretaste of the feast to come in the Holy Supper of your Son's body and blood. Keep us firm in the true faith throughout our days of pilgrimage, that on the day of his coming, we may together with all your saints celebrate the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, etc. More contemporary, modern one, but I love pulling out the idea of food for our pilgrimage. You know, we're on our way home, and this is the food that God has given us as a foretaste. He breaks off a bit of the future, reaches it to us in the past to strengthen us as we journey through the present toward that future, which will be our final home, where we'll join in this great marriage feast.
Well, when we come back, we're going to take your questions and comments on the Nunc Dimittis and the Post-Communion Collects, Part 22 of our series on the Historic Liturgy with Pastor Will Wheadon.
Mount Zion Lutheran Church in Greenfield, Wisconsin, is a congregation of those gathered by the Spirit of the Lord around His saving word and sacraments. At the center of our life together is the divine service of the risen Jesus, the Lamb of God who was slain, who takes away the sin of the world. If you are in the Milwaukee area, we invite you to share with us in our Lord's gifts of forgiveness and new life. Services are on Saturdays at 5 p.m. and Sundays at 9 a.m. For more information, visit our website at MountZionGreenfield.org.
At SteadfastLutherans.org, we've been called contentious. We've even been called the brothers of John the curmudgeon, and we may well be curmudgeonly sometimes. But we always have the best and clearest voices in confessional Lutheranism. Articles from Molly Hemingway, Martin Nolan, Clement Preuss, Todd Wilkin, and a host of regular contributors. Come check out the new Lutheran media. Always clear, always concise, always confessionally Lutheran. SteadfastLutherans.org.
The cross is our theology. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Issues Etc. relies on a small group of faithful supporters called the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. These people have pledged to become monthly or annual contributors to Issues Etc., and this allows us to budget our expenses more efficiently. Now, there are four levels of giving. The confessor, $25 monthly or an annual gift of $250. The apologist, $50 monthly or an annual gift of $500. The reformer, $100 monthly or an annual gift of $1,000. And the patron, $200 monthly or an annual gift of $2,000. Each Reformation Club member receives premiums like books, transcripts, and the I Have Issues t-shirt. You can join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club by contacting Craig. His email address, craig@issuesetc.org, or you can call 618-223-8385, 618-223-8385, the Issues Etc. Reformation Club.
For God brought
Controy of Concordia Theological Seminary with the hymn, In Peace and Joy I Now Depart. We're talking about the Nunc Dimittis and the Post-Communion Collects in Part 22 of our series on the Historic Liturgy with Pastor Will Whedon. And you mentioned that was Luther's paraphrase?
Yeah, that's Luther's paraphrase of the Nunc Dimittis. And in our liturgy, that is one of the options to use as the Post-Communion hymn in Divine Service 5. And I do not know of another setting that so exudes the spirit of peace. And first time we did that at St. Paul's, Cindy sang it. And my friend Charlie, who's long since gone to be with the Lord, he said, she's singing that at my funeral. I still remember when I got together with Charlie's wife, Lola, I said, well, I'm sorry, you don't have anything to plan. I've got all Charlie's funeral done because he gave me all the kind of information before we... he was always planning his funeral. So he had one of the pieces, and Cindy did sing that at his funeral. Beautiful piece.
Scott in Shiloh, Illinois has this question. For a layperson such as myself and non-Lutheran as well, how should one understand or apply this Song of Simeon today, the Nunc Dimittis?
Well, the Lord Jesus is given to you, no matter whether you're a Lutheran or not, is given to you that you might be able to depart in peace. I would certainly encourage any and every Christian to find a church home that confesses and actually receives the Lord's Supper on a regular basis, that you know that it is Jesus' true body and blood for the forgiveness of your sins, because the peace of the Nunc Dimittis is just the supper itself just simply seals that to you, what Simeon was singing there. And but whether you're a part of the Lutheran Church or not, in your own life, I pray that you just often think that this Lord Jesus, born of Mary, who put his blood on the cross for you and for all people, he is the one who enables you to depart in peace.
Kate in Rockford, Illinois, she says, we sing the Nunc Dimittis with our kids and have since my now 4-year-old had trouble sleeping as an infant. It goes together beautifully with Luther's evening prayer. As Lutheran converts, my husband and I really love discovering and cherishing the historic practice of singing and chanting the songs of the Bible.
Amen. Isn't that so true? There is nothing like singing the actual words of the scriptures themselves. And many of the melodies for the Nunc Dimittis have the ability to simply underline that that piece. I'm always partial to the setting in Divine Service 3. That when I think of Nunc Dimittis, I always think of that. And remember one time at seminary, we sang that thing in 4-part harmony with no accompaniment. And boy, is it a beautiful piece of music.
She mentions that it dovetails nicely with Luther's evening prayer.
Evening prayer, yeah.
Talk about that a bit.
Well, Luther's evening prayer is another I lay me down to sleep kind of prayer. Thanking the Heavenly Father for his care of us during the day, asking his forgiveness for all of the things that we've done wrong during the day, and committing ourselves and all we have into his care and keeping into your hands. I commend myself, my body and soul and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. And boy, is that ever important when you're coming to the moment of your death. I mean, you're thinking about how Satan at the last moment will throw up into your face all of the sins that you've ever done and say, you don't belong to him. You belong to me. Look at all you've done. And what comfort it is at that moment to be able to say, nope, I have a Savior who has answered for them all. I can depart in peace because his body and blood have atoned for my sin.
Raises a question, Will, because I hadn't ever thought about this until I was listening to you talk there for a moment, kind of bringing together all the things you've said so far today about the nexus of this Nunc Dimittis with the end of the day and the end of life.
Mm-hmm.
Can we see, not to put too fine a point on it, but can we see the divine service as kind of the life of the Christian? I mean, it begins with that divine name.
Mm-hmm.
With baptism,
with
the
baptism,
sign of the cross.
Sure.
And it ends with this.
It ends with the face of God shining on
yes,
you, which is coming up with the benediction next week, and so you do have a sort of picture of the whole of your Christian pilgrimage, the whole of your life in Christ there. So after you receive the body and blood, you're ready for it's your viaticum. That's the old word for the pilgrim food that you take to get you into the life to come.
We see this especially to kind of return to the issue of the life of the parish. We see this especially with older people. You've had the same experience I have of presiding at the Lord's Supper and seeing the young and old gathered there mm-hmm. at the rail, but especially the old. Most of the time they're not kneeling anymore because their knees are bad and their hands are out, and these are hands that look like they've
gnarled and
been, and yeah. the fingers are all crooked, and they still have that little throne for the body of Christ.
And you look at the look on their face.
Yeah.
And you're like, wow, because so many times you'll see some of our oldest members with the tears streaming down there. I remember one that I can never forget. He loved to sing. I think he loved to sing that piece by Fred Bowie, the "What Is This Bread?" And I remember him just choking up over and over again at "And who am I that I should live and he should die under the rod? My God, why have you not forsaken me?" You see that kind of love for the supper in the old people as they're given the body and blood of Jesus, and they know full well the sins of their life that this body and blood is answered for. And it gives them peace, gives them the ability to go in joy.
Here's one from Stephen in Columbus, Nebraska. Stephen asks, "Why do some settings, Lutheran Service Book 1, he refers to, have a choice between Thanksgiving Canticle and the Nunc Dimittis, and others, and that would be Lutheran Service Book Setting 3, have the Nunc Dimittis and a Thanksgiving?"
Well, there's a Thanksgiving actually in each one of them. We don't have a single divine order that doesn't have a prayer of Thanksgiving after the post-communion song. It's just that we have a variety of post-communion songs. You can use the Nunc Dimittis, you can use the paraphrase of the Nunc Dimittis, or you can use the thank the Lord and sing his praise. So, as I said, the prayer or the song itself is a little bit of a Lutheran innovation, and not something that was there in the Western Rite from the get-go.
We kind of come to this point here, and I don't want to front load anything we're going to talk about next week. We will talk about that in a second. But it is time to say goodbye. Now it is time for the supper to be ended. Now it is time for the service to be ended. The only thing left that we'll talk about next week is for God to have the final word.
Mm-hmm.
Is this the kind of point right now where we stop, where even prayer stops, where we kind of start where we began? Not by opening our mouths first to have something to say, but letting God say what he wants.
That's a
to say.
Very good way of putting it. I mean, at the end of the liturgy, God himself does the job. Now, I want to stress, this is, again, a unique Lutheran thing to use the benediction from Numbers. The original Western Mass had a different kind of blessing at the end, and there's some other words after that. But the Luther suggested, can we do better than the Lord's own blessing being put upon us? And so that's where that came in. And from that point forward, basically, that's been the preferred benediction in most Lutheran liturgy.
So just give us, with about a minute here, give us a foretaste of next week's conversation. It'll be part 23, I believe.
Well, I would suggest this. Read through the words of the benediction, the Aaronic benediction, and think about Simeon, and think about the face of the Lord shining on you, and see what you come up with. I think you might come up with a smile on your face as you think about how the Lord has smiled upon you. To lift up your countenance upon you, that's a fancy, old-fashioned way of saying to look at you and smile at you. In Jesus, God smiled on you, and that's a wonderful thought.
That's next week when we talk with Pastor Will Whedon. He's Director of Worship and Chaplain for the International Center of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. Will, thank you very much.
Hey, thank you.
Folks, we are 5 days away from the beginning of the season of Lent. The Issues, Etc. book of the month is called Restore the Roar. It's devotional material for the season of Lent from the prophet Amos, and it's written by Dr. Reed Lessing, a regular guest here on the program. Lent has not yet begun, but once it is upon us, this is a great devotional resource. It follows every day of Lent and a little bit into Easter, and it takes you not only through the book of Amos, but also through the season of Lent. Find out more about this devotional resource for the season of Lent, Restore the Roar. It's the Issues, Etc. book of the month for February at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House. It's very inexpensive, and you can purchase more than one. Restore the Roar by Dr. Reed Lessing. Their toll-free number, 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040. It's the Issues, Etc. book of the month for February, Restore the Roar. I can't think of this is a fitting way to end everything that's happened, isn't it? What do you say when you have had your sins forgiven? What do you say when you have heard the word of God? What do you say when you have been given the very body and blood of Jesus Christ to eat and drink for your forgiveness, for the strengthening of your faith? There's nothing you can offer in return. That's obvious. And there's not really much you can say of yourself except to thank the Lord. You know, there's a reason why the earliest Christians regarded the Lord's Supper as a great thanksgiving. Because you're left with nothing but thanksgiving in your mouth when you're done. See, that's the nature of this thing. It is a gift. And the appropriate response to any gift is to give thanks for that gift, to extol that gift, and to anxiously await it being given once again. I'm Todd Wilkin. In Hour 2 of Issues Etc., we'll talk about distinguishing law and gospel with Pastor Brian Wolfmiller, and that starts in about 5 minutes.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
The church's music from the second century.
Shepherd of tender youth, guiding in love and truth.
The sixth century. The 12th century. The 16th century. The 21st century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.